We had people stay from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. on day 3 in Zoom rooms shooting testimonials for 4 or 5 hours nonstop in several Zoom rooms because their experience was out of this world. So guys, that's what matters. It's not just the sales, it's the satisfaction. But I know so many people who bank on events as a huge part of their business that you gotta have the satisfaction too.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
All right, what's going on? So we have an amazing, amazing presenter today. It's a little different now. This is the first time I've ever done a merged Fighting Entrepreneur episode. So welcome to all you crazy fighting entrepreneurs. And also hosted an amazing person who I wanted to have here for our Webinar Con and Webinar Confidential family. So we're doing a 2-for-1, all right, because his time is that valuable and didn't want to have him do two episodes. But I'm telling you right now, you are in for a total treat. I do want to take a second to plug my podcast. If you're listening to this, make sure you go to anikpodcast.com and binge episode, listen on all of these awesome episodes. We have amazing guests. Anikpodcast.com, A-N-I-K, podcast.com. And then, of course, webinarcon.com. All right, if you're watching this right now, means the virtual event's already gone and you missed it. But maybe you can go ahead and grab the replays and maybe you will not miss the next one. Don't miss out. These are epic events. We bring the best of the best of the best. I'll give you evidence of that on this very session today. All right. So what are we going to talk about today? Well, I want to tell you a little story. It's story time, everybody. So get your blankies and get your pillows and snuggle up. Last year, and our speaker, he's listening right now. He doesn't even know this part of the story. I didn't tell him this part. Last year, I get this message, maybe 2 years ago. I get this message from a good friend, David G. What's up, DG? And, you know, David G, one of the things I love about him, he's always excited. Like, if he ever has to reach out to me, it's because he's excited about something, right? So it kind of becomes a little bit of the boy who cried wolf. Like, every time he comes to me, he's like, I got something awesome. And I'm like, I know, but you had something awesome every time. I can't take so many awesome things. But he's like, no, this is different. You got to talk to me. You got to listen to this guy. And I was like, okay. He tells me about this person. And he's like, this person teaches people how to speak on stage. And I was like, oh, God. I'm like, dude, like, that's such a small market. It's not for me. I retired. This is a true story, by the way. I retired from stage speaking and stage selling years ago. Selling. I still speak on stage for the right stage. I enjoy audiences. I love speaking. But I won't sell on stage. So for some reason, I just turned it off right away. Like, I just was like, no. But David G wouldn't let go. He was like, you don't understand. You're not listening to me. Like, just get on a call with the guy. I said, all right, fine. For you, take a call. So I get on a call with this individual. Didn't really go into it with an open mind. But within the first few minutes, he really got me to open my mind because I was looking at speaking completely incorrectly. As a matter of fact, he starts telling me all these amazing plans in this business model I could use. Didn't even involve me speaking on stage, but it could do huge things for my company. Learn. Then I start looking at his client list and the people he works with. And I'm like, wow, this is a real who's of who. Like, I've not been paying attention. And he had me won over within the first few minutes. We had a great call. After that, business went different directions. We weren't able to connect on a business level, but we've always stayed in touch. Hi, hello, here and there, messages, Facebook, admiring each other's work from a distance. All right, all of this culminates into what happened this year. And this is where I think I got a bit of a man crush on the guy. I'm just going to be honest. Like, I became a little fanboy. So speaking, stage selling, stage speaking ain't quite the thing right now with little COVID going around, is it? Like, basically, there is no events like going on. All events are going virtual. So my heart went out to him when I thought about the fact that that was his entire business. And there's actually an article in Forbes about how he lost a multi-million dollar business. But what would most of us do when that happens? Boo-hoo-hoo, sit in the corner, cry about it, mope. He just decided he's going to reinvent. And in a matter of just a few weeks, he launched an empire online. And he took his whole business online, more than doubled it or whatever. It doesn't even matter. It's just he took everything. He was telling me right before we started, workshops, company events, mastermind, live events, preview events. You talk about everything he did offline, he took online. And now he's serving far more people. He's built this amazing Facebook group, built this amazing mission. And he, like, seriously, just springboarded unlike any entrepreneur I've seen do it online. I'm totally jealous. And that is why in this episode, I sent him a message right before we started. I said, I'm going to grill you like a big fat piece of steak. Because I want to know what he did and I want to do it. I'm going to copy it. I'm going to blatantly copy it. I hope you do too. I'm telling him he knows this right off the bat. So the warnings have been, the disclaimers have been stated. Very impressed. The other thing I just want to say is he's just a good guy. And that's what you're going to learn from him. Sometimes in this industry, we miss that. He's one of the good ones. Great heart and just an awesome person. So help me welcome Mr. Pete Vargas III, or as we can now call him, PV3. I like that. Man, what's going on, Pete? Thanks so much for being here.
I'm excited. I literally mapped this presentation out yesterday. I called it the virtual event success model and mapped it out. Two or three incredible folks like yourself have asked me to speak about this, and I've not spoke about it in such an organized way where folks could walk away and literally take bits and pieces or take the entire thing and go do it themselves in their own business. And so, dude, I'm excited to share that. I know the main thing right now is WebinarCon, but all of the listeners that are listening on the podcast too, because we got a 2-for-1. Yeah. Dude, stoked to be here, bro.
Yeah, no, listen, and thanks for being here. And mark my word, public accountability, I'm declaring it right now. What Pete did, I am going to do. And because I am competitive as heck, I'm going to try to beat his numbers. But the credit will go right back to him because he paved the path. It's really amazing stuff. And you don't have to do it at the level or the size that both Pete and I will do. I mean, you guys, what you're about to learn right now, if you have no business, he's going to give you a business. He's going to give you a full business. And it's a business of service. It's a business of helping others. And it's something that you can use tools that are right in front of you to launch with. I love it. I can't wait. This takes webinars to the next level, by the way. I love webinars, but then there's like webinars to the next level where it comes with an integrated community and consistency and brand building and loyalty building. And it's just like next level stuff, which of course all translates into millions of dollars as well. So without further ado, Pete, I'm going to turn things over to you, my friend. I'm here. I'm taking notes. If anyone sees me typing on my phone, I'm not texting. I'm taking notes. I like to take them in my phone because I lose them when I take them otherwise. Pete, all yours, man.
That's great, man. Well, hey, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to pause in between. There is a little bit of a framework that I'll use, and I'll pause in between each piece of the framework so you can do a little bit of drilling on that piece before we go to the next piece. Does that sound good?
Love it. Cool. Yeah, man. Love it.
So, hey, guys, Pete Vargas coming to you from Colorado Springs. As Onyx said, I have a company that we started back in 2016. 4 short years, we started in this industry, helping people understand how to be powerful communicators, how to get their message on stages, and how to grow their business through all of these stages, both physical and digital stages. The reason I'm so passionate about what I've been doing for almost 20 years is because the father of the first victim killed at Columbine back in 1999, lost his daughter. He came in and spoke and shared her story in my hometown. After hearing that story, it's what prompted my dad when I was 23 years old to ask for forgiveness for the abusive dad that he was growing up to me. And he wrote me a letter. He said, I'm sorry for the father I've been. Here my son is impacting all of these kids' lives. I can't have impact on my only son's life. He asked me for a second chance, and he told me for the first time that he loved me in a really, really long time. And so why I do what I do goes back to that day in 2003 when I was a youth pastor, when that one speaker changed my dad and I's relationship forever. That was a day where I sat there and I realized that speaker's not known. That speaker has something big that he can go serve the educational market with. Like, what market are you trying to serve right now? All of you out there, what market and what industry are you trying to serve? Like, what are you trying to serve? He was clear on the market that he was trying to serve. He was trying to serve educators and students and parents within school systems, because he felt like if he could get his programs in the school systems, he could completely change the character and the culture and the climate of schools all across the world. The problem was he didn't have the vehicle in order to do that. He didn't have the eyeballs. And what Onyx is doing here is absolutely unbelievable, because he's giving you the vehicle. A lot of you know who you want to be in front of, but you don't know how to get out in front of them more. And the stuff you've learned thus far, you're going to learn after me, and that I promise you, you will learn from me, is going to be game changer to help make sure. And I love Prince EA, who's become a dear friend of mine. Make sure that you get all of the juice out of that orange and that none of that goes to the graveyard with you. You see, Prince EA has a video that says the wealthiest place in the world. A lot of people, if you ask them what the wealthiest place in the world is, they'll say like, they'll start naming all these countries. And the reality, it's the graveyard, because that's where messages aren't heard, inventions aren't had, stories aren't shared, products that should have been changing people's lives aren't there. And so I'm excited today because that's where my genesis of my story began. And for the next 20 years, almost 20 years, Anik, for the next 17 years, I began to help people who I felt were best kept secrets get their message out there on a bigger scale and serve more people. And for the first 13 years, I served him and a few other organizations. And we got really good at physical events and physical stages and some digital stages. And we didn't just get good at that. We got good at communication and helping make sure that when any of our speakers spoke online or offline, they converted at a higher level and never felt salesy, slimy, or sleazy like most people feel after they hear somebody online or offline who's selling. We figured out how to do that. We figured out how to get them on stages, and we figured out how to allow their business to grow from those stages. And for 13 years, we did that. And then in 2015, I start seeing some crazy folks online. I see this Onik guy who I'm like, what is this internet marketing? And I see this Ryan Dice guy, and I see this Brendan Burchard guy. I'm like, who are all these people? Like, why are they hitting my email box up so much? And I didn't even realize what was happening in 2015 to me because I was so new. Like a lot of you who might be new to the space, I was really new. But I knew that what I had done for the four or five clients that had been serving for 13 years, I needed to go do on a bigger scale. So I started following all these guys and learning from these guys. And in 2016, I launched Advance Your Reach. And this is really, really important. In 16, we fell short of just being a seven-figure company. And then in 17, we became a multiple seven-figure company. And in 2018, we did close to $5 million in sales. And this is why this is leading to where we're at. In 2019, we were one of the fastest 1,000 growing companies in the U.S., and we hit eight figures. And I was really proud of that. And then you step into January and February of 2020. Right now, just a few months ago, we have record-breaking months in January and February. And then March hits. And all of a sudden, it's like crickets. Sales stops. Physical events that we had. We had our own fulfillment events, workshops, masterminds. We had our big live event that had 1,100 people scheduled. We had sales events on the calendar or preview events on the calendar at the time that all of the announcements started coming. And as we started looking at everything and started realizing what this meant, it meant $4.5 to $5 million of not losing our business. Onik said losing our business. We didn't lose our business. We lost $4.5 to $5 million of top line revenues in our business. And we had some hard decisions to make. We had some hard decisions to make because I called some mentors of mine. I was on this couch over here. My mind was in the gutter. Do I lay off employees? Do I cut my marketing budget? Do I cut my advertising budget? Like, what do I do? And I text Marie Forleo. I called Michael Hyatt. I called Ryan Dice. I called Roland Frazier. I called Dean Graziosi, who, if you haven't heard him yet, he's going to rock your world. And if you have, he probably already rocked your world. And I just said, what do I do? And before I get into the tactical and the strategical, because I'm going to break this down for you. I need you to understand that when you face crossroads in any area of your life, not just your business, that there is wisdom at the crossroads. That means that somebody's been there before you. And listen, you're in the realm of a guy who's done amazing things in this industry. And like, if there's any way to work with them past WebinarCon, like you would be crazy not to, because there's wisdom at the crossroads, meaning what Onik experienced in the last decade. I mean, I don't know. He could have been doing this for two decades. I don't know. He's been around. He's an OG, but he knows what happens when tough markets hit and good and bad and ugly and all of that. And what we don't tend to do a lot of the times in our lives is get wisdom from somebody who's been there before us and help us navigate. And those phone calls, all they did is help me navigate. they didn't give me the strategic. They didn't give me the tactical. They just gave me the mindset that I needed at that moment on it to say, what am I going to do? And what we did in the next 45 days, which I'm going to lay out step by step, I'm proud to say that from April 5th to May 5th, we did more revenues in our business in that month, which, by the way, was when the world was just really hearing about COVID-19 on a high level. We did more revenues during that month than we did all of 2019, which was an eight-figure year for us.
Wow.
We not only did that, we got featured in Forbes because of it, and we took this worst-case scenario and turned it into what I want to use as our acronym for our entire teaching today, which will be very practical, into a best case scenario. We took it from worst to a best case scenario. And quite frankly, it's not even best because I couldn't even have dreamed what happened. Like, my best case scenario didn't look like this, but it's the word that fit the most. And so I'm excited today, Onik, to show people the event, the virtual event success path. Whether they have a big live event, whether they have their own workshops, their own training days they're doing, their own masterminds, their own company or team events, their own sales events, if they have consulting deals with folks that they have to no longer be able to fulfill in person on, what I'm going to share today can take any of those events and take them to be virtually and very, very, very successful. So that's where we're going to go. Does that sound good, man?
Yeah, let's do it, man. I'm pumped. I'm excited. Like I said, I'm actually going to put it into action. So let's do it.
Cool. So I want to start. We're going to use an acronym today that's going to become really important, guys. And for those of you that are listening on the podcast, I completely get it. You can't see it, but I will make sure and talk it out. And I think they can go to YouTube, right, to see it on it.
Yeah. For if you're listening, like in your car, you're driving, you're running, and you want to come back, I would say listen to it, because we're going to describe it really well. But then come back and watch it on YouTube. Just go to my channel, go to Onik Singhal's. It's like youtube.com/ Onik Singhal COM, and you will see the whole episode there.
Onik, you can see that well on my screen, can't you?
Absolutely. Very well. Yes.
So guys, we took something that was worst and we turned it into the best case scenario. So I gave you seven types of events, and you can go, like, I just gave you seven types of events. I'm going to take one of those. Okay. Let's take one of those. We had a big live event with 1,100 people. This is the virtual event success blueprint that I'm giving to you guys right now. We had a big event. Maybe you have a big event, maybe you don't, but I know you either have some of the other events or you want to create some of those other events. And this is where this is going to help you. So we had a big live event, and this is the blueprint in which I want to use right now for everybody that's watching right now. We had 1,100 people scheduled for this big live event, and we had close to $3 million of top line revenues that was budgeted in for our big live event. Oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, I want you to remember these numbers because they come important. I'm going to give you lots of data today. And this data is going to serve you in a very powerful way. And so we had to do four things really, really well. And that's what I'm going to take you through. So, Onik, does that make sense? I want to make sure this makes sense to you. 1,100 person event, $3 million of budgeted revenues in person in Orlando, that we had to figure out how are we going to take this and do what we did. And so all of you can do this with any type of event, not just the big live event. Does that make sense what our context was? Because we'll come back to the numbers later. Cool.
Yeah, perfect.
So the first thing that you have to do in order to make this happen is the be invest, is you've got to get people to buy in. You have to get them to buy in. And so what did we do to get them to buy in? The number one thing, and I have it actually here, and by the way, this model is not just the model we've used for ourselves. We've consulted on this model with several major, major people who have taken this exact blueprint and done the same thing. So what's the first thing that you got to do? Is you got to get them to buy in. And so what did we do? We actually got our attendees, for any of you that have an event, we got our attendees bought in first. How did we do that? By using a webinar. Instead of being like everybody else that, literally everybody else, that said, hey, our event's canceled or postponed. And they tried to use slick emails to tell all of their people that, and nice emails. We said, we ain't doing an email. We're doing a state of the union to our attendees. These are the first people that we got to get bought in. And so we did a state of the union, a webinar. Phenomenal webinar. Literally laid it out step by step for Tony and Dean. Step by step. And what we were able to do is help them understand why the virtual event was going to replace the physical event. And Onik, we got to get those ticket sales off of our books. It's a big deal, man. It's a big deal. We didn't start marketing to anybody, guys. We got the people who were already coming to buy in. Well, maybe you don't have people that are coming to buy in. That's cool. That's all right. That leads us to the second thing that we did. We said, what are we going to do to get more attendees? And oh, by the way, let me give you the numbers. Eight hundred out of 1,100 transferred. You remember the baseline number, everybody? 1,100. 800 out of the 1,100 transferred. Okay. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the way, on the webinar, the CTA, or those of you that don't know, call to action was to go to a website and transfer their ticket to the virtual event. Woo! That feels good. We got a baseline of 800 people. We're good to go. That's good.
And same dollar to dollar, right? So they didn't get a refund or any, it was same whatever they had invested.
Yeah, well, big mistake we made is we had three ticket levels, kind of a really low ticket, another kind of low ticket, and a high ticket price. I was more concerned about the high ticket price because it accounted for 80% of our ticket sales. So instead of doing it on the low two, I let the low two transfer their tickets to 2021. But the high one, we gave them such a great package of things, including the virtual event as one of those and some other bonuses. And all I did was transfer the high ticket. Remember, we're doing all of this in 3 weeks. I have no time to think. My team has no time to think. If I had it to do again, I would have done it with all three levels. Everybody who's followed the model because of us helping coach, guide, and lay this out for them, Onik, which are major players, major names, I can't say all of them, have done all three ticket levels. All three ticket levels. We just did the one because, I don't know, it's just because that was one of the things I didn't think about. That's a great question, man.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it makes sense. People understand also. So, but that's awesome. I mean, that's a huge, if you had asked me before you did this, how many, I would say, I don't know, 40%, 50%, the rest will ask for refunds. But I love seeing that, no, most people did. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go for it.
No, you're great. But the next thing, and maybe this is all you're trying to do, is how do we get more people there? And for some of you, it just might be, how do I just more? How do I just get attendance? Because you don't have another event. So whether you want more or just getting attendees. And guys, we did this two ways. Two ways. And Onik got to see it. We did it with a challenge. And I got to tell you, it was very, very powerful challenge because some of this stuff, once again, you're doing this so fast, you don't realize what's happening. But we did a powerful Rise Up World Charity Challenge. And what we did is, if you don't know this, we did a 23-day challenge where we went live every day. We had 65 plus speakers. Onik was one of them. And we had 151,000 people register for this challenge over a 3-week period. And what we did is we had basically three levels, level one, level two, and level three. I think we called them silver, gold, and platinum. And the beautiful thing is 100% of the profits of this went back to charity, 100%. And so what we did, guys, is that through this, through these levels, they basically got several of our speakers' resources. Let's just, it's irrelevant which ones they are, but each one just got a few more, as you can see from the drawing, is they got several of our speakers' resources, paid resources, not junk, guys. Not junk, that's not the right word. Not the freebies. Something that was a real paid program, because all of these speakers wanted to contribute back to the charity. And in
What were the price points of each of the packages?
Yeah, so this package was probably, this first one ranged anywhere from $200 to $400 whenever they came in. No, $100 to $400. I stand corrected. $47 to $297 on package one, meaning it went up every week, Onik. We had a deadline every Monday where the price raised. The second one started at $197 and went all the way up to $497. And the third one started at $797 and went up to $1297.
Love it.
And so what happened was there was also, guess what you think the red is, Onik? What do you think the red line is that I'm marking in here? Those are deliverables, pretend deliverables, but why is there one that's red?
No idea. Maybe because
that's the ticket that gets them. They get a free ticket to A360.
Okay.
Which we called our virtual event Advanced 360 Interactive. I will get to the event itself in a minute. Yes. Oh, sorry. Big mistake. We did it in the gold. We did it in the platinum, but we forgot to do it in the silver. We just didn't. And it was too late because I didn't want my integrity to be, I said it's not there and I don't know why. If I had it all to do again, it would have been in all three. By the way, which level do you think had the most people give back to charity? Level one.
Number one. Yeah, of course.
It's always because it's the lowest price point. So I missed out on all of these people that could have potentially, also come as well. So how do you get more attendance? Well, we just went out, didn't realize this, by the way, when we were doing the challenge, because our motivation was the charity. And guys, we raised just shy of $1 million of profit for charity in 3 weeks. You tell me many, outside of like I know Tony and Dean, you tell me many, many thought leaders or influencers who give away, that was profit. Like that was profit.
Yeah.
Close to $1 million went back to Sarah Blakely, went to SCORE, went to Feed America. That's one of Tony's charities. We gave to them. That went back to Kiva, which gives microloans to business owners across the world, and which went back to Samaritan's Purse, which aids in assistance across the world. Those five charities, we allowed the group of entrepreneurs to choose the charities, and they submit over 400 charities. Give your people the ownership to tell you who they want you to give back to, instead of making it about just your charity. Now, because they give you a long list, you can still have some say-so because you want it to resonate and you want it to be in alignment with you and who you are. But by them giving me a bunch, we were able to see, oh, this one was said, like SCORE was said like 20 times. So we're like, SCORE is going to be one of them. But the prerequisite is that, with the exception of Tony's, because I made a surprise amount to Tony, All of the other four served entrepreneurs. That was the prerequisite of what they had to submit, because this was committed to an entrepreneur group only. So guys, not only did we get buy-in from our attendees, we got buy-in by getting attendance for some of you, or getting more attendance by running a challenge. I believe a challenge into a virtual event is one of the most powerful things you can do. I've now not just seen it once, twice, three times. And I can't tell you who I was on the phone with this morning, but we're partnering on a fourth one, because we don't have products or services around what I'm teaching today on it. This is not like my business model. Like, this is what I had to do to pivot my business. Like, there's no, like, I don't have a, but we've partnered with some really big people in helping them do this. And so we've seen this work really, really well, is a challenge into a virtual event. And whether you want to run charity or not, that's your call. Having three levels works out really, really powerfully. Works out really, really powerfully. So by the way, the last thing that we did in the buy-in bucket, and we'll pause here, is we did a flash sale. So we allowed people to just buy a ticket to A360 after the challenge was done. So we ran a 48-hour flash sale for tickets. We had a low-end ticket. We had a high-end ticket. It was like 147 or 97 for a ticket to our virtual event. And then there was like a VIP option that was like $700 to our virtual event. And so the first thing that you want to do is you want to get whomever bought in. And what I don't have on here that came up right off the bat that aren't on my notes is the first person you want to get bought in is your, not just yourself, but the team that's going to help you operate this. Because when you get the team bought in, they get really, really excited. So Anik, I'll pause right there on the buy-in. We got to get the buy-in.
Yeah. So a couple of questions. I think you did cover these, but I want to go bring them out again. 151,000 people come into the mix. First question, challenge. You ran your challenge a little differently than I'm used to seeing people run challenge. Was it a 30-day, every day you were on, multiple speakers? How did it run again? How did it work out?
It was supposed to be 20 days because 20 is greater than 19, and it's supposed to be 20 speakers. But then what began to happen is we had, people just kept hitting me up, and people kept saying yes. Like Sarah Blakely was in the challenge. Damon John was in the challenge. Tony Robbins was in the challenge. Like it just kept Dean Graziosi. I mean, Amy Porterfield, like it just kept on it. Like it just kept growing. So we did 23 days, April 5th to April 27th. And then what we had to do is every day we went live at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Never change that time. Go live every day the same day. But I couldn't mathematically make the speakers work in 90-minute segments for 23 days. That's over three speakers a day. So what we did is we had an all-day summit, live summit on one of the days where I was able to, for 6 hours, get like 20 of the speakers in during that all-day summit. And by the way,
that is end up having
65.
Incredible.
Okay, so let me recap this. 23 days, every day, 1 p.m., you went live. You'd get three speakers on that day.
Two. We try to get to two. And then the leftover, the ones that we didn't get on those days, we put on the all-day event.
And that would happen once a week?
No, just one. One time.
Oh, just one. One time.
So it happened at about day 17 or 18. And let me tell you what our data tells us. Your ads start getting a little stale around day 10, mm-hmm. Day 10, day 12. They start losing as much punch. We were getting very great lead acquisition, which we can talk about. By the way, the majority of that 151,000, I think 80% of it came from YouTube and Facebook ads.
Wow.
So this was not a partner promoted, affiliate promoted. We had a few people promote it socially. We had some people email it out, but the bulk of that did not come from a partner promotion, because
we didn't have time to do a partner promotion on Rise Up World. Next year, partners are asking us, can we promote this because of the way that it converted for charity? Like, I would have rather paid my speakers back than Facebook and YouTube back and still given the profits to all the charities. Like, I would have rather paid them. But the majority of this was ran through paid advertising. And our paid advertising kind of hit a wall about day 10, day 12. But it picked up a lot when we started promoting the all-day event. And all of a sudden, our lead costs went down significantly. So I wished I would have just pulled that back a little bit, because after that, the lead costs continued to stay down because people were buzzing about this all-day event. And so the elements that we did with, like, you know, I'm good. You know, I have several buddies that have done great things. And you and I were talking about Pedro right before this. He's a good buddy. We've always done challenges, but we learned from Pedro, who helped us see things differently. And then we did elements in this challenge that nobody's ever done, from the charity component to the three levels of the component to the all-day summit in the middle of the challenge, which I wished I would have backed up a little bit.
Yeah. So what I'm taking away, it's interesting, is it's not just the challenge, the 23 days, but having kind of these multiple legs within that. So you have something new to say and something new to promote and to refresh your ads. I do have another question, and I want to talk about ads separately. I'm sure you'll get into that, but it's burning me right now. Is 80% of 151,000, I'm not a mathematician, but that's, I don't know, 90,000 to 100,000, whatever. It's a lot. It's a big number.
Over
100,000 came from ads. And you said after day 10, ads got stale. So you did that many people in 10 days of ads?
No, we did. We ran it 7 to 10 days prior to the challenge, too.
So it was 7 to 10 days prior to the challenge, 10 days into the challenge, about 17, 18 days is what
it took. And stale might not be the word. Expensive. They got more expensive.
Well, yeah, it's the same thing. They're growing ad blind to it. That's why CTRs are going down, CPMs are going up, and costs are going up. Okay, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that stuff in a second. Now, so I love how you did 23 days. I get the way you ran the rhythm daily. Weekends as well?
Was it 7 days, 6 days?
Weekends, dude. So we themed it out. So Saturdays was family day, and Sundays was faith day, because we help people understand how to rise up in their business, their minds, their relationships, their finances, their health, their personal growth, and their spiritual growth. So we dedicated every Saturday a family day so they could bring their kids. And it was incredible. Like, we had people who inspired the mom, the dad, and the kids. We, you know, the parents, the kids, everybody, the aunts, the uncles. And then on Sunday, we made it faith day. And we were really, really clear that, hey, this is faith day. And we, you know, my background is, you know, I've come from a Christian faith, and I had people like Jeremy Camp and Erwin McManus and Rich Wilkerson and Lecrae and just incredible Julie Stowen. A lot of incredible people shared on Faith Day more about their business and faith. And so that we did go every day, man, every day. My team was amazing, and they were also very worn out.
Very cool. Okay. So now the other thing with challenges is, from what I've seen, is they have a you know, you start day one, and by 23 days in, you've done something, you've completed something. Was yours more a challenge of introducing people to, because it's 60 some speakers. I mean, all of us talk about a variety of things. Was it more of a challenge of introducing people to a wide array of subjects and topics? Or was there like every day an assignment that then people went and did, and was like a 23 day, at 23 days, people had some kind of outcome, which is what I've seen challenges have.
Day one, we'd let people continue to see the whole time. We took away, because in all three of our levels that we gave back to charity, all three of them, we included the recordings of the challenge in the workbook of the challenge. So we removed the recordings after like 2 days. But every day, we first had them inventory. Where are you at in these seven areas? Where are you at right now in your business, 0 to 10? Where are you at in your mindset, 0 to 10? Where are you at in your health, 0 to 10? Where are you at in your finances, 0 to 10? Where are you at in your relationships that matter to you, 0 to 10? Where are you at in your personal growth? And where are you at in your spiritual growth? And so our intention, 100% like intention, was to help them rise up in all seven of those areas.
in all seven of those areas. So we had different speakers connected to each of those seven areas. And the goal by the end of the time, which every day had a homework assignment, the goal was for them to re-inventory. And by the time this was all said and done, that they're like, wow, those 23 days changed my life. And thousands of people at the end of those 23 days said, those 23 days changed my life.
I love it. It's that one thing I love about that everyone to take away is the challenges have been getting a lot of play lately. And, you know, we even interviewed a couple of challenge experts at this point. I've done my own unique spin on the challenge funnel. I'm not ready to publicly talk about it yet because I'm going to go out there and blow it up first and see what the results are. But this, you took challenges and expanded them a little bit too here, where you went, and it doesn't have to be like, hey, we're going to show you how to develop your sales call script. No, you can go a little higher level and get to impact people at a higher level, which is exactly what you did. So very cool there. Okay, now you've talked about this virtual event. So that's another thing. Challenges usually have something you're building up to, this big thing that's going to happen. And traditionally, that's been a webinar, right? And on that webinar, you'll have like a high ticket pitch or whatever. Yours looks like it was a virtual summit that things were building up to. And so my question to you there is, I mean, talk about a warm, hot, love you to death audience to be on that virtual summit that's just been served like crazy for 23 days. Few questions. One, how soon after the day 23 was the virtual summit?
3 days.
3 days right after it, right? So basically that weekend that came up. Okay, number two, how many people ended up buying the virtual summit ticket through the variety of ways, the fire sale, the programs and all of that? How many people did you end up having in it?
So let me go to part two. So now all of a sudden we get buy-in. Guys, buy-in around whatever event you want them to get buy-in on. Any of those events. I'm just talking about I gave you seven different events that you can take and make it virtually powerful. So now we go to the E in best, which has to do with experience. Now, instead of having 1,100, we got 800 from the transferring over. Onik, this is what the numbers look like in the challenge. I think like the first level had, I'm guessing here, Onik, so it's like 4,000. The second level, I believe, had 2,000. I know it's a little bit more than, and the third level had 1,000. Which means these people got a ticket along with a lot of other resources, but these people didn't, which I'm just going to make a sad face on.
Well, you know what? That really hurts, man. It's a gut punch right now. When you throw the numbers out like that, it's painful.
It's very painful, bro. Very painful. Like, it was a mistake we made. But guys, here's what I want you to know. I also believe we did one of the biggest things that's ever been done that doesn't have this massive, like a massive name play. Like, we did something that is really crazy. So all of these people qualify. Yeah, it's a gut punch. So there you go. There's my smile back at you a little bit, kind of. All these people qualify. So between the challenge and the flash sale that we ran, here's what I don't have on me. Another 2,200 people. And I would say this was probably like 18. This is a guess. So I want to be public about this. This is a guess. It'd probably be 1,800 from the challenge and then 400 from a flash sale. But the flash sale was also these people too. The flash sale was those, our list, our community, our Facebook groups. So we saw a total of 3,000 people that were registered now for this experience of what we call a 360 interactive.
Is it 3,000 plus the 3,000 up there? Because you had 2,000 under package two, 1,000 under package three.
No, that's who bought the package, but out of these, not all of them claim their ticket. We put them through a quick 72-hour claim your ticket to A360. Not all of them claimed it. Okay, not all of them claimed it. like a percentage of them claim their ticket. They got, remember, they all got a bunch of bonuses under here from the speakers, and we included one of our bonuses. Actually, we included more because of the fact that we have a lot of digital resources. So we might have had, you know, one here, two of our things here, and three of our things here. But this was not all of them claimed their tickets. So not all of them claimed it. Good question. So out of this, I'm saying if 1,800 of them, that would have been, I'm guessing there, that would have been 1,800 out of 3,000 probably claimed their ticket. Not all of them claimed their ticket.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
So now all of a sudden, three times the attendance, guys.
Yeah.
Three times the initial physical event attendance. So what did we do in the E to make this an incredible experience?
And while you're doing that, I want everyone to understand 3,000 tickets. Look, it's one thing when someone goes from an ad to a sales page and buys a ticket, which, listen, for Webinar Confidential, we did really well, but mostly it was, you know, some partners ran webinars, I got on sold tickets, we did really well with Facebook ads, LinkedIn ads, etc. And that's great, and they're good people. Obviously, you're here and you're watching if you're for a part of Webinar Confidential. But here's Pete's tickets. They sat through content. At some point, fell in love with the man, and then they're showing up for this virtual event. And even the ones who bought these very pricey, like hundreds of dollars type of packages, he's saying, no, even you got to double step in. It's not like you just automatically, I'm going to throw you into a Zoom call that's going to be the event. No, you double opt in, recommit. So I love the micro commitment cycle happening. The copywriter in me, the marketer in me is saying those 3,000 that are a part of that event, man, they are like the best audience you could have in a room. So kudos to you on that.
And dude, even if it's not 23 days, like even if it's not 23 days, everybody knows the public numbers now, so can talk about this, but everybody knows that Tony had a challenge and his was 7 days and he had three ticket levels and he included tickets in all three ticket levels. Remember, we made a mistake, but it's okay because other people can learn from my mistakes.
Yeah.
Now check this out. People spent 7 days with them. That's so much more powerful than just add to sales page to this, because they spent 7 days with him. They spent 23 with me and a lot of speakers. They spent 7 days with him. Now, all of a sudden, as people saw all over the internet, which was phenomenon, and kudos to Dean and Tony and all of them, 23,000 people. It was a phenomenon, 10 times the size of ours. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool, but they're so much warmer because of the 7 days, or in my case, the 23 days that they spent with me. That's a very, very important thing, dude. Very.
Yeah.
Very important.
Cool. All right. Keep going, man. I wish I had brought like half my team in here to listen so that I don't have to repeat any of this to them, but they'll listen to the recording.
They can watch the replay, bro. They can watch the charging for the replay though.
I will. Gonna make them buy Webinar Confidential.
Yeah, there we go. So then what did we do? So now we're in the experience. So what did we do in the experience? Let me just talk about some of these things. I might not draw them out. So we just got people to buy in. We now go to an experience. So my team comes together on it for like a day straight. I just showed this to some powerhouses. My team comes together for a day straight and we start saying, what are we going to do with our experience? And we came up with coined the phrase 360 interactive. How do we get people to have an experience of all of their senses? All of their senses. And so what did that start with? It started with touch. We sent the physical curriculum, which I was just looking for, and I cannot find it. I just showed it to someone. We sent the physical curriculum in the mail. And in this curriculum, there were door signs that said, quiet, please, I'm creating real change. And there were emojis that they could do. And all of this stuff that they could do. And so there were, you know, just a bunch of stuff that they could do, but there was a curriculum that we sent in the mail and they're like, whoa, this is a virtual event. I'm getting something feel touch. So all of this in a few weeks, by the way, kudos to my team.
Man, why didn't you tell me all this before Webinar Confidential?
Oh bro, I know. It's okay. Hey, I know the dude, I've seen the lineup. I know the value that you're getting. But
yeah, I love it. I mean, that's such a simple thing. Send physical curriculum for a virtual event, and my brain went like, why didn't we think of that? Smart. People love physical stuff no matter what's going on in the world. It's nice to get a box at the door. Yeah, go ahead.
So this is all under the experience bucket. How are we creating that 360 interactive experience? How are we doing that? The second thing that we did, this is before they've ever stepped foot in the event. We gave them pre-work. The pre-work were three videos. I'm having my team find all of this, the videos and all that, so I can illustrate it later, but we moved so fast. But I told the team, and it proved itself to be right. I said, I don't care about them preparing with their workbook. I don't care about any content. You have to shift their minds on what's about to be created at this virtual event. So we had three videos that simply said, this is how you show up powerfully. We want you to turn off all notifications. So we want you to get dressed. We want you to brush your teeth. We want you to go into the breakout rooms. We want you to have your video on. But we motivated them and showed them what they would get as a result of doing that. And we talked about how we're going to be gamifying the whole experience and that there would be a top 5 winners and a top 100 winners for the gamification of things. And so we got their minds ready to show up powerfully to this whole new realm of virtual events. Because here's the promise I made at the State of the Union. Remember I told you I did a webinar for the State of the Union on it? That wasn't for my challenge people. That was for all of the physical people, that physical attendees that had purchased tickets that we're now having to tell, we're not doing it. I made a promise to them that this won't be a live stream. This won't be a, you know, just a passive engagement. This will be a very proactive, engaged thing. Now I had to go back and fast forward and make sure in the pre-work I explained that and I got them bought in. Second thing that we did. The third thing that we did to create an incredible experience is the check-in process. Everybody checked in. They literally checked in with a real live human being. We had to do this for 2.5 days, Anik. We had to give time blocks because like when you go to an event, you check in. So why wouldn't you check in when you go to a virtual event as well? And so we had them check in and sign their release form virtually and did a check-in because now you're reinforcing the importance of this. I'll go through this whole thing and then I got a couple more and then I'll let you ask any questions on this. The fourth thing that we did is they had a dashboard. That's just a fancy word for a membership portal. Like an inside of a membership area. And we didn't have enough time to do this time, but we've now since done it really, really powerfully because we have time with a lot of the people that we're like partnering with and helping them with theirs. And that is not a norm, guys. That is not like seeding anything. Like you got to have a significant amount of media and a lot of stuff for us to even consider that because the amount of work that goes into something like this can be extensive. But the portal becomes important because the portal, the dashboard, is where their one-stop shop is. So the only thing we wanted to do, it's their one-stop shop. What does that mean? It's their link to the main room. It's their link to breakout rooms. It's their links to the mastermind lunches. It's like, oops, we put the curriculum together so fast that I forgot about this page of the curriculum. It's uploading the pages to the curriculum. It's tagged back to our system to show are they a VIP or a regular attendee, because a VIP got some things that the regular attendee didn't get. So now based on their ticket level, it's triggering what gets put into their portal. It's the help desk button, big fat help desk. It's the coaching concierge button. We did over 2,000 coaching sessions, not over the course of those 3 days, but in the week to follow as well. And all those buttons simply take them into the right rooms of where they're navigating. They're just Zoom rooms, but it's all in one portal versus putting it in emails and like, which link goes to where? And so in the check-in process, the main goal was to wow them that they were being checked in. Oh,
and show them how to access their portal, their dashboard. As long as they could log in there, everything we needed for them to see was in there with big buttons. Now, did everybody see it? No, that's why the help desk was one of the biggest buttons, because all they would do is go to a help desk. What's a help desk, Pete? That's a person on the other end like this saying, hey, Anik, how can I help you? Hey, I'm supposed to be in the mastermind room right now. I'm a VIP. I'm supposed to be in the mastermind lunch. Cool. Cool, honey. I'm sending you the link right here. I'm private chatting you the link right here. Click on that link. And now our help desk is helping send you to the mastermind luncheon, which is just another Zoom room, guys. It's just another Zoom room. That's all it is. So the portal and the dashboard was huge. And then the final thing that was huge, and by the way, I just shared this with somebody today. You guys will be the first to hear it. We could have had, we didn't have time for this. We could have had sponsors that had rooms. We have several of our big clients that have, they want their top sponsors to have their own rooms. And their sponsors can be in their homes, set up with their teams in their rooms. And I'm telling you, they will get more traffic than they do at a big event.
Oh, yeah.
More traffic than they do a big event, because I don't know where to find you. And I don't want to go walk over there. But to click on a button and see the sponsors, we have people that if you have sponsors or if you have a multi-speakers, we didn't have multi-speaker rooms, but we could have had multi-speakers in different rooms. And all of that would have shown up in the dashboard. The dashboard is huge. And then the final thing that's really big about creating an experience is the teaching format. You have to teach less and allow them to engage more. So here's the framework we used. Teach for 30 to 40 minutes. I know we're going a little bit longer on this today. Let them workshop with the worksheet that's connected to that teaching. And if you don't know what your speakers are going to say, just leave it as a blank page with their names or note pages. Like, we knew what we were going to say because we were the ones doing all of the content. Yeah. Let them workshop for 20 minutes. Let them discuss that workshop time for 20 minutes with four other people in a breakout room. And then come back into the main room, bring them all back into the main room and highlight different people's ahas, which now reinforces that entire session. 30 to 45 minutes, workshop time, conversation time, highlighting time. That's what we did in the experience bucket to make it world class on it.
So love it. Amazing. Questions flying left and right because, wow, technologically, I have got to ask. So check in. You said you did it over 3 days. So you had 3,000 people registered for this thing,
no,
right?
No, only 2,600 ended up registering. So it's just like any other event. I think 2,600 out of the 3,000 ended up coming.
All right. 2,600 people have to be processed over the course of a few days. So how did you technically run check-in? Was it like, did you use like a live chat functionality and someone would come to the page, click a live chat thing would help. And then the person would say, okay, give me this, give me that. Okay, I'll set you up in a member. Like at a very high level.
It was Zoom rooms, bro. So it was simply Zoom rooms. Everybody was coming into Zoom rooms. I think we had, I don't know what the number was, but between our team and we hired Sage Events, which did an incredible job in this and an incredible job in the next thing of the acronym, I believe there were 16 people like checking folks in. So there was some type of round robin that was taking them into different rooms on it.
Okay. So Sage is someone I'm supposed to actually talk to anyways, but you had connected us. So Sage handled the check-in.
All of the check-in.
Boom, done. Good. Because when you were talking about it, I was getting anxiety. Like, I did not want to have to deal with that. All right.
So you now, can outsource that, dude, and they are incredible. They are
okay,
incredible.
So then you asked, then you said something. So 2,600 people are at this virtual event. Main room, easy, fine. They're all in a big Zoom room. Workshop session, fine. Give everyone an assignment. 2,600 people are sitting there doing it. You play music or something in the background. Then you said we break out and discuss your stuff in rooms of four people. At 2,600 divided by four, that's a heck of a lot of rooms. How do you manage that? Or did I mishear that?
Great question. So let me go to the S in the acronym, and that might help people, which is
We have to get folks to buy in on the front end. We have to create a world-class experience. The third thing is you have to have the setup. The setup, the S in the best is we had an incredible setup. Staging, technology, AV, freaking Sage was amazing. Amazing. So the staging, guys, I didn't like even having conversations, like the up-leveling of what you will see in the next year, you will start to see people who zoom in like this that have a full-fledged staging in their house because the event requires them to have that staging from their house. But you have to have great staging. We had on stage, Onik, we had and I'm going to come back here for a minute, but we had like a setup. There were four cameras coming at me. If I looked over here, I was looking here and they could see. It was cool. Yeah. Have one camera if that's all you can do. Onik, we had all of the people, or 500 to 700 of the people on screens in front of me. I could bring them all on the big screen behind me. There's studios that do this. Like Chris, I don't know Chris. It's the studio that we rented out. Amazing. Incredible.
Well, just going to throw it out. Learn does it now. Learn.
Oh, they do? I didn't know that, bro.
Yes, we're getting it started. Yeah. Look, man, I got a 26,000 square foot facility here. I got to figure out how to use it during COVID time. We have an amazing lecture hall, classrooms. So we've drawn it all up. Our director of AV has literally got all the sketches done and everything. But hint, hint, if you want to connect with us about renting our facilities for that, let us know.
There you go. So staging matters. Awesome. Technology matters. AV matters. All of that stuff matters. The setup matters. So if you have to do it kind of mom and pop style in your home, you still can create a good staging. You can have simplistic technology and simplistic AV. But here's the cool thing. Now, when you're bigger, we have to have a connector to all of the 16 Zoom rooms. There were 16 Zoom rooms. People didn't know this because it felt like everybody was in one room, but there were 16 Zoom rooms connected with the connector. And what happened is when we were all in the main room, I'm not an AV guy, you can ask Sage about this because they're amazing. The audio and video feed would feed to all 16 rooms so they could hear me when I was on the main stage. But as soon as it was time to break to breakout rooms, all of these 16 rooms or 20 rooms, I don't know what the final number was that we got up to, you would just break them out in those different rooms, Onik. So you're not really breaking out 2,300 people. You're breaking out 150 people into smaller rooms because there's several Zoom rooms interconnected. So the staging, the technology with the portal or with the dashboard, the AV and the technician around the AV, that made it amazing. And I think, you know, Sage is obviously incredible and you'll be interviewing them. But they're also probably bigger for some people who might be just getting started. You can do all of this out of your home. So think about your setup. Your setup matters. So I think that answered the question you asked.
It did. I got to take a pause because we're still going. And first of all, guys, if you're listening, I don't know why Pete's sharing this much detail and why he's doing this. I told you he's a good guy. This is a good heart. For those of you who take this, so I've been very serious about wanting to do this. And I was going to have this conversation with him anyways. We decided to have it here publicly for everyone to see. I watched him do all of this, and I want everyone to understand that every question I had along the way, he's answering. So while I watched it from a distance and said, I want to do this myself, but how did he do this? How did he do that? How did he do this? Some of which were questions I knew I can get him to answer for me because we're friends, but I would have never expected him to publicly just come out and drop the answers. So I hope everyone understands just how amazing this is. This is next level stuff. Look, I wish I had heard this 2 months ago, because we would have run Webinar Confidential differently. I'm saying it here at the tail end of it. I love the event we ran. It was epic, but wow, there's so much to learn here. So Pete, I know we still got ways to go, but I just want to take a minute here, show a lot of gratitude. Thank you. You are just bringing the heat, man. It is awesome. And I'll turn it back to you.
Yeah, dude, that's great. No, I appreciate it. And so now all of a sudden we've got the buy-in, we've created the experience, we've got the setup. And I'm trying to find a few pictures just so everybody can see this. We've got the setup. Now the tee. And this matters. This is what matters to people. The tee and best is, like I said, this isn't like a cookie cutter presentation. Like this is not your normal. It's total sales and satisfaction. Hmm. 3 times more sales than any physical event that we had done with hundreds and hundreds of people in a room ever before. 3 times
wow.
The sales. Close to 500 new customers into our world. That's what happened with total sales. Could we have had sponsors and exhibitors? Yeah, but we didn't have time. I had to pick and choose. Like I didn't have time to figure that out. I'm currently figuring that out with a massive brand right now because we want to make sure their sponsors and exhibitors are taken care of. And if their sponsors and exhibitors can have an incredible first-class, world-class, better experience virtually, then guess what happens? They give these organizations more money. So yes, you can have sponsors. I'm commonly asked questions. Can you do sponsors and exhibitors? Yes. They have their own rooms. Do you do recordings? No, not on the front end. Because here's what it creates. It creates people not showing up. Do you realize that the registration was at 2,600? The peak of day one and day two were 2,300. The peak.
Wow.
The low of day one and day two, I never got the final day three numbers, was 2,000, which means that we never drop less than 10% all day long, day one or day two, 8 to 10 hour days. Why is that important? Had I promoted recordings on the front end, we would have dropped to 60 or 50%. Do not promote recordings until after the event. Are there going to be recordings? We don't know. And if there are, you ain't going to be getting them for weeks and weeks at a time. Why? Because we want people to show up.
Another tip I could have used a month ago.
Like you can cut any of this stuff too, dude.
I'm not gonna cut any of it. It's brilliant. I got that sad face going on that you had under the
well, I had a 20, dude.
Yeah, it's all good. We live and learn. Hey, at least this is a testament to the fact that I teach our students all the time. I make a lot of mistakes every single day. The only thing is I move forward. So we ran a virtual event. It was epic. It was great. And I can already tell you 17 things that we did wrong that we won't do the next time. And we'll just keep making it better and better and better. But cool. Very cool. All right. We're on T, total sales satisfaction. You had a great show rate.
So let me talk about total sales. Total sales, you can do ticket sales. You can do sponsors and exhibitors. You can have all types of sponsors and exhibitors. You can sell your products, your services. I'm working with an association right now, a big one, where they're just trying to get more membership sales. Membership sales, their annual kind of subscription. So you can sell all types of products and services. We had coaching, workshops, and consulting available. And we had close to 500 new customers come from coaching, workshops, and consulting. We could have sold physical products. We could have sold services. We could have sold a membership. We could have sold training. We could have sold digital products or anything else that you think of out there. You could have had those. So ticket sales, sponsorship and exhibitor, products and services. Those are the buckets. Any of your products and services, those are the buckets you want to live in. And we 3 times any physical, big physical live event than we've ever done from our ticket sales. Oh, yeah, from our ticket sales and from our own products and services. We 3 times that. Now, satisfaction. We knew people were satisfied. Anik, we even, and I actually talked in detail with like Dean Graziosi was one of my biggest supporters. Tony and I were on Zoom and I was like laying this, a lot of this out. And Tony said, but Pete, can you, like, yours is so, I don't even have a Tony voice. I was trying. Yours is so tactical and you're teaching them like Tony. Because he wanted to know, like, can you create an experience? I said, Tony, we had a letter writing activity. We had people crying. We did personal growth. We did mindset. We brought people on the big screen and helped them overcome their own limiting beliefs. 1,600 people on day three wrote themselves a letter of the future version self of who they want to be. So for any of you out there that think personal growth, like, oh, yours is so tactical. No, man, it's not just tactical. It's personal growth. And Tony just proved that this last week with 23,000 people, or a couple of weeks ago with 23,000 people. And so satisfaction was out the wazoo. Our promoter score on this event, very similar to our physical event. Net promoter score means, would you recommend this to a family or friend? And when you have a high net promoter score, and by the way, we preach that in the market, Onyx, I know you do, stronger than a whole lot of people, because a lot of people don't care about the net promoter score. They care about the sales and marketing to get them there. We care about the net promoter score, which is satisfaction. Not only was it high, we had people stay from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. on day three in Zoom rooms shooting testimonials for 4 or 5 hours nonstop in several Zoom rooms because their experience was out of this world. So guys, that's what matters. It's not just the sales, it's the satisfaction. But I know so many people who bank on events as a huge part of their business that you gotta have the satisfaction too. So what, dude, that is the last part of the framework right there, man. So let me know what questions you might have about that.
I'm a little speechless right now. We do this thing in the Fighting Entrepreneur. I haven't done it in so long. We do, we call it a knockout. I haven't had a what do they call it? A TKO? Yeah. TKO. We haven't had a TKO in a long time. I'm officially awarding you a TKO in this episode. Man down. Man, it has been powerful. Question, sales. Ticket sales, got it. Sponsorships. I know this isn't going to be as helpful to some people listening, but to me, give me a range. Hey, Anik, I think you could sell sponsorships. You shouldn't sell sponsorships for less than $1,000, and you could go as high as 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. What's a range? If I start to plan this for myself, what's a range I'm looking at?
It's not even a question, bro. I haven't proven this out, but we will prove it out with somebody we're working with extremely closely right now. I believe they're going to get more traffic and more engagement from a virtual event than they would a live event. The key is the sponsor on the other end, which is, by the way, everybody, simply a Zoom room or whatever technology you use. They have to make sure that they are showing up powerfully on their end as well. And so I believe that sponsorships can be similar to what you would charge for an in-person, because you can maybe package something that's not only going to show that they're going to get more traffic, but maybe there's some other things that you can throw in for them as well that make them very happy. So you might not, it might not be about the quantity of sponsors. It might be more about the quality that you give fewer, but you can charge those fewer more. And we're about to prove that out, dude.
Love it. All right. So then let's talk about products sold at the event. Again, this is me asking for myself. Multiple products throughout the 3 days that are, you know, your $1,000, $2,000 type dollars? Or again, is it like throughout the 3 days you say, here's our three packages. You can get our $1,000 package, our $3,000 package, our $10,000 package. Like, which is more the model?
We just had two things that people could do with us. We had a $23,000 package and a $6,000 package.
Got it. No sales team involved, nada. You just said the stuff on the thing?
But I don't want people to lose track of that either. In the portal, in the dashboard, there was a coaching concierge button. And as you clicked on that, it took you into a Zoom room. And our sales coordinators, incredible people, Libby was in there. And people had scheduled 15 to 20 minute conversations. And we did over 2,000 conversations, not just those 3 days, but we had to open it up the calendar because We had no idea how successful that was going to be. We thought 600 or 700 people are going to schedule calls. No, 2,000 people schedule calls, and not calls. They're simply, she's just moving. It's not simple. Like, you got to make sure you have some people, but she just moved them in. We just helped them out and had conversations. So we did have conversations on it. 20 minutes, nothing long, bro, because you can't do a whole lot.
That audience is too warmed up already. I mean, they're ready to go. The conversation's more about what is it, move on. It's not really that kind of, okay, got those questions answered. Last batch of quick questions is around the traffic acquisition. So going backwards, we talked about 80% of this traffic came from Facebook, YouTube. You spent, I'm going to guess, I don't know the exact amount, but I'm going to take a guess. If you got 110,000 from Facebook and YouTube, costs were down during that time because it's April, $500,000, 600,000, somewhere in that ballpark. 700,000. Okay. Yeah. So 700,000 in ad spend. Dude, for anyone doing that in 17 days, that's no easy feat. I mean, that's a big, monstrous thing. Did you have an in-house team do it? Did you outsource that to an agency? How did you run that?
So we don't have in-house. We Adrienne Richardson runs all of our traffic, all of it. She's phenomenal, but only for, you got to be spending hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million for her. She knows how to scale traffic up. She's currently, as I'm doing this, running a campaign for us right now. I looked at it prior to us getting on here. I'm like, whoa, she's killing it again. And she's phenomenal. I've worked with 5 agencies, by far the best. And then we work with Jake Larson on YouTube ads. So we ran YouTube ads. And now we're starting to begin to try to figure out LinkedIn. But you know the deal with that. You got to have a high lifetime value of a customer in order for LinkedIn to make sense. And if you do have a high lifetime value, LinkedIn makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So
amazing. Done, dude. TKO. This was awesome. What a powerful session. People need to see what you're doing. I think they'll see the power of it. Where can people go, Pete, to connect into what you're doing, to join that group, to join the movement, to join the Rise Up? Tell us a little bit more about how they can connect with you.
Yeah. So listen, if y'all go to riseupworld.com, we've continued that group. And every week we bring in phenomenal people to train in there on Monday. I mean, world-class people. But then once every 4 to 6 weeks, we do a free challenge in that group. So right now, as we're shooting this, we have a sales challenge going on in there, teaching people how to do sales. So if they just go to riseupworld.com, bro, it's completely free. Riseupworld.com, I believe we provide millions of dollars of what it would take to get these speakers in the same room. We get them in there and share their best stuff, man. So that's what I would encourage people to go do, man. Is just go to riseupworld.com.
Riseupworld.com, head on over there. The one thing I'll also tell you, which is so impressive, is he goes live every Monday. So he has amazing guests. And goes live and he'll get 700 to 1,000 people on watching on a Facebook Live. Just like that, just because he went live. Do you know how many marketers have to market something for days, if not a couple of weeks, with ad spend and email after email after email after email to get 1,000 people on listening to them live at one time? I'm telling you, I've been there, done that. It's a lot of work. He just hits the go button on Facebook Live. This not only tells you how powerful his marketing strategy is, it also tells you how powerful his content is, right? People don't just show up again and again unless they love what they're doing or what he's doing. So if nothing else, if you've listened to us today and you're like, I don't want to do that, that's fine. Then go get to riseupworld.com. At least become a part of the family in there. I'm there. I see posts all the time. I saw yesterday you were in there. There's a few hundred people listening to you. And what I was laughing, I was like, oh, I bet he probably didn't even mention that. It was just like he decided to just go live. Yeah, exactly. And still a few hundred people just popped up, you know? That's quite the asset you've built from a marketing standpoint. And it doesn't happen without you serving with heart and you working hard. Everything you just talked about today is a lot of work. So kudos and hats off to you, man. And I don't know who all is on your team, but if they get the chance to see this, this is me saluting them. Seriously, I can only imagine how much work it's taken to put this together.
So that brings everything to life, what I just talked about, man. So dude, I'm so grateful for you having me on here today. And I hope people will really, I realize a lot of stuff is happening in our world right now. And it's really tough. but we have an opportunity to not just kind of to sit in the chair and say there's no way to get out of this. We have an opportunity to take our messages virtually online in a bigger way through webinars, through challenges, through virtual events. And Anik, I'm glad that I could serve you guys today. So thanks for having me, dude.
The honor and the pleasure was all ours. Thank you so much for being here. And for the rest of you, watch this again. Watch it three more times. I know I will. I'm going to have everyone on my team watch it. What a powerful session. That's just more proof of the amazing stuff that comes at you from WebinarCon and, of course, the Fighting Entrepreneur. Stay plugged in. Keep watching. But more than anything, take action. This is Anik Singhal reminding you when life pushes you, what do? You stand straight, right? And you... Wait, what do? When life pushes you, stand straight, you smile, you push it the heck back. That's how much my mind is blown. I forgot my own damn statement that I say at the end of every video. All right? Seriously, do what Pete said. It's powerful. This is Anik Singhal signing off. See you guys later.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Anik Singhal.